Well, hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength and your strength. And the Lord is the strength of your life. The Lord is the strength of your life. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. You know, the scripture says, ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus said that. He wants you to be joyful. He wants your prayers answered. So today we're going to share, and the title is called Growing in Prayer. Growing in Prayer. So we start off with a scripture. Most of you maybe haven't heard it, at least not in the last year or two. And what scripture is that? Mark 11, verse 24. By now, most of our Bibles fall open to Mark 11, 24, right? So let's all look at Mark 11, 24. Growing in prayer. We all need to grow in prayer. But we don't grow in prayer, you know, like the Lone Ranger. Just one thing we're growing in is prayer. We don't care about anything else. All we want to do is grow in prayer. We just want to have our prayers answered. We don't care about all the other stuff. It doesn't work that way. Okay? No army advances where one column goes way out and the rest of the army is behind. Everybody has to move along. From the people who are at the back who are providing the supplies and those doing the cooking and the ones who are taking care of the wounded and the ones who are bringing the artillery and the shells and everything that you need and the swords and the saber and whatever, okay? Depending on what kind of unit you're in, right? So you want to be properly armed for the unit you're in. If you're in a tank battalion, you don't want to come to work with just a bayonet, okay? You won't do too well. Same way, Christians need to be properly outfitted, properly wearing their armor, and growing in prayer. We all need to be growing in prayer at all times. There will not come a day when, that's it, we've learned all we need to know about prayer, we can quit learning about prayer. It doesn't work that way. We're always growing in prayer. And a good place to start is Mark 11, 24, which says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you should have them. Starting point in prayer. Whatever you desire, when you pray, you must desire it, you must pray it. And then key, when you pray, you must believe that you receive. If you believe you receive in the present, then it shows up in the future. If you don't believe you receive in the present, then it probably won't come in the future. If you believe that you receive in the present, then you never again prayed. Because if you prayed again, you said, I didn't believe I received the last time. It's like you plant corn in your backyard, and after 3 or 4 days of waiting, you wait the 3 or 4 days because you're very patient. On the fourth day, you go and you dig it up to see if it's growing. Not going to work. You have to believe that when you plant the corn, it has been planted correctly and it's going to grow. The same thing when you plant your prayer, you believe you receive. And because you believe you receive, you don't go back and check it because you believe it's done. No, that says, what things of your desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Let's call that the first level of prayer, and let's go to John 14. John chapter 14. Jesus says, he's the way, and he says the way is straight and narrow. There is one way to do everything. It's the way that Jesus said to do it. There's one way to pray, the way he said to pray. And he said, when you pray, desire, pray, and believe you receive. Present tense. There is no other way to pray. The prayer of faith. And every prayer is based on the prayer of faith. Every prayer, when you pray, you have to go through the same step, which is once you pray, you believe it's done. The prayer of faith, petition prayer, we call it petition prayer, is asking God for something. But when you come to the next step, in John 14, 14, Jesus says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, he doesn't say anything about believe you receive. Why? Because he's already told you that. When you pray, believe you receive. If you pray in his name and you don't believe you receive, you've canceled the prayer of faith. So in John 14:14, if you should ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you study that, okay, you will see that the word ask there, when you're going down into the levels of meaning, level of revelation on that ask is even more like demand. If you demand anything in my name, if you demand it, it says, I will do it. And you study out the will do, you see that it probably more akin like the following. I will do it. I'll give it to you And if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. So what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. After you've done that for a while, and you've learned how to believe you receive and act as if you received back here, as you go through your day, you believe you receive back there. So you don't pray for it again. You don't cancel it with your prayers. You don't cancel it with your words. You don't cancel it with your actions. You pray, Lord, I pray that when I go to work today in my new, pretty, fancy dress, it won't rain, get my dress wet. So you decide to go walking outside, and you said, just in case, I take my umbrella. You just canceled your prayer, and I'm sorry for your pretty dress. It's going to get wet. Okay? So what happens if you show up at the door and it's raining? Well, that won't happen the first time. Might happen the second time or the third time. Comes a point where you show up, open the door, and it's raining. What do? Stick your foot right out into the rain and walk. Because you walk by faith, not by sight. First time you do it, might be a lot of fear. I'm going to get my pretty dress wet. And the first time you do it, it might get wet. Because everything gets better as you practice it. But it's better you sacrifice your new pretty dress than cause God's word a lie. Because when you say, Lord, you said, if I ask it in your name, you will do it, and the rain is falling, and I'm going to walk by faith and step out into the rain, then you're believing his word. When you say, well, I guess it didn't work, you're not believing his word. So sacrifice the new pretty dress. Because the next time, the time after, and thereafter, the rain will always stop. Here's a story Pastor Karen doesn't know. It happened with her brother and I. Vicki Jameson, who used to travel with Kenneth Hagin and then started her own ministry. She had the healing school at Rhema Bible College for some time. Had this wonderful healing ministry. And she'd come to Los Angeles once a month, usually at the Shrine Auditorium. And so we would keep her equipment for her. All the electronic equipment, everything. And so this one year when the El Nino was here, it was raining cats and dogs. Remember that? Somebody remember cats and dogs coming down? Okay. A few cows and alligators. I mean, it was a lot of rain. And we were to take the equipment down to the Shrine Auditorium on a Saturday morning. And all we had was a little truck with no top. Just, you know, the bottom part of the truck, the bed, no sides, no top. And we loaded the whole thing up and we're in the garage and it's pounding rain outside. And Mark said, well, what do we do now? I said, we pray that there will be no rain. So we thank you, Lord, the equipment will not get wet because there's no rain. Open the door, and we drove out. And I tell you, we drove out in that rain, and the rain stopped. For the entire trip from where we were in Los Feliz down to Shrine Auditorium, everywhere we looked, there was rain to the right, rain to the left, rain ahead, and rain behind us. Rain everywhere. And these thousands of dollars of electronic equipment were sitting there uncovered. Not one drop of water touched any equipment. We drove it all the way to the shrine. It was kind of easy. It was my equipment. It was God's equipment. Thank you. Yeah, it was God's equipment. It wasn't mine. When you believe you receive, you'll act as if you believe you receive. When God said to Moses, part the Red Sea, stretch out your rod, he had to believe it was going to work. Because if it didn't work, he was leaning with his entire personality on God in complete trust and confidence. That's the amplified definition of faith. Leaning on God. In total confidence, your entire personality, your entire being, everything. And if it fails, you're a goner. Understand that? You're a goner. G-O-H-N-E-R. Okay? You're a goner, okay? If the Red Sea hadn't parted, there would be no argument today about the Red Sea was 3 feet deep. Right? Because there'd be no Moses to talk about. All the Jews would have been killed off. Well, almost all of them. They were certainly trying to kill them all. Which is not the first time they tried to kill them all. But they're still here. Heard this lady on TV last night on the news. She was 17 years old in Auschwitz. Took her mother, her father, and her to Auschwitz. And she was 17. They took the mother and father off, and she started to follow them. The guy was called the Angel of Death, Mengele, thank you. Yeah. Said, stopped her and said, no, you see her in a short while. She's just going to take a shower. Well, we know how that worked out, right? And they told her every day, you never get out of here alive. She's now 87. She said, well, I did outlast them. Right? And she has great-grandchildren. Okay? Very awesome. She became a psychologist to help people with post-traumatic stress disorders. Okay? So you have to lean on God with your entire being. Your entire being. When I was learning, I went out in the rain, just like I told you. You know, I teach what I've done because that's how I learned to teach it. And I went out in the rain to go for my run, and it was raining. And I tell you, when I got back after maybe a 4 or 5 mile run, my clothes had shrunk so much, somebody had helped me get it off. Okay? I couldn't get my clothes off. Okay? I was soaked, but that was it. After that, my wife and I have a standard prayer. In the name of Jesus, it never rains when we are in transit. We are going from the house to the vehicle, or from the vehicle back to someplace else, doesn't rain. It can rain after we're in the vehicle, but not when we're in transit. And it's about, I would say, 99.99%. Once in a while, we get a few drops. What am I saying? Everything takes practice. Everything takes practice. The more you practice, the more it gets better. So here in John 14:14, Jesus said, anything you demand in my name, anything you ask in my name, I will do it. No, that's more than asking God for something. That's speaking to things. That's using all the authority he's given you. You have powers over demons, over the earth, over the rain, and you can speak to it. And it will come to pass the way you speak to it. It's a higher level of understanding that all this authority and dominion has been given to you. And all this authority and dominion comes as you practice it. Strong meat of the word belongs to those who by use of exercise, by use of practice, have learned to discern between good and evil. It's as you practice it, you move more and more into the deeper areas of prayer. So, Mark 11:24, prayer of faith. Ask and believe that you receive in the present. Act and speak as if you have, it will show. John 14:14, whatever you command, whatever you demand, whatever you ask, in the name of Jesus, he will do it for you, give it to you, or make it for you. Let's go to John 15:7. That first one comes just by knowing that scripture and practicing. Second one comes by knowing more about what your rights are and by practicing. The third one is a higher level, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So that comes by continuing in the word. If you continue in the word, then you are a disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not all Christians get set free. All Christians are born again. All Christians have the right to get set free. All Christians have the grace to be set free from every challenge. But there are two types of Christians. Believers who believe and who have salvation as their blessing. They've asked Jesus into their heart. They confess Jesus as Savior, and then they go to heaven. Most believers. But Jesus is saying in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple. So anybody can become a disciple by wanting to be a disciple and by practicing continuing in the word. Continue means to hear, to have your faith grow by hearing, and to have your hearing grow by practicing, by hearing and doing. If you continue in the word by hearing and doing, then you shall know the truth, and then the truth shall set you free. But this whole process of growing in the word and continuing in the word only comes if you're a hearer and a doer. It's not hearing. Continuing is not hearing alone. It's got to be hearing and believe that you receive and doing. As you continue in the word, then are you his disciple, and then you get set free. All that is contained in, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. If you abide in Jesus, and his words abide in you. In other words, if you're a disciple, and you stay in the word, continue in the word, and you try to stay in the presence of the Lord. If you try to stay in the anointing. If you abide in me, is another way of saying, if you stay under the anointing, because the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you should ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So he's saying, if you stay in my presence, if my words stay in you, whatever you ask, it shall be done for you. And the next level is Ephesians 3:20, which is not only what you ask, but way over and beyond what you ask comes to you. Four levels of prayer. That's the process that God wants us all to grow through, growing in prayer. From the basic prayer of faith, through authority, through abiding in the anointing, through where what you get is way over and beyond what you ask for, or what you even dream for. It all comes through continuing in the Word and practicing. Okie dokie. Now, when we do all that, John 15:7, four verses later, John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So he's teaching all these things that your joy might be full. For he says, "My burden is light and my yoke is easy." So when you're undergoing these terrible challenges of life, it is not God's plan, intention, or God's work. It's happening because you're not abiding in him. Okay? Someplace along the line, the devil has crept in with his burdens and his yoke. And the anointing destroys that. So, a surprise for all of you, and in particular, four of you. Actually, one, two, three, yeah, four of you. Four of you are going to have a nice surprise. We're all supposed to be what, Donna? We're all supposed to be instant. We're all supposed to be instant in season. Okay, and Donna's going to get an opportunity to be instant in season. Praise the Lord. You want to stay there, you want to come up. It's your choice. When you get up here, you'll find out. Or you can stay there and I can come to you. Either way, you're going to speak. You're going to speak. You're a good speaker. Good for you. She's going to come up front. Okay. Let me say this about Donna. That Donna came to us about 4 years now, or 4 years ago. At the end of the first 12 months, I asked her, come on up. At the end of the first 12 months, you won't be speaking very long, okay? You can be speaking for 2 or 3 minutes. At the end of the first 12 months, I asked her to give some testimonies. She gave 11 testimonies of 11 major miracles that she'd experienced in the last year. 11. And my favorite, the most powerful, she didn't share it. Because I think she and I may be the only people who know it. Okay? Because it's very private. So she didn't share that one. 11 major miracles. Here's a lady who used to be in a wheelchair. Doctor said she'd never walk again. Okay? Here's a lady who's led over 200 people to the Lord. Who used to sing with Andre Crouch. Okay? And when she came to us, the devil had really done a number on her. So what I'd like you to share, I'm going to choose 3 more people. I know exactly who the 3 are, okay? So don't worry about it. Either you're chosen or you're not. It's already done, okay? It's already done. Here's what I want each of you to say. Well, not the last one. Here's what I want you to say. I want you to talk about the fact you've been here 4 years. The question is, why did you stick it out 4 years, and what was the value of being at ABC for 4 years? Okay? Think you understand it? So you've been here 4 years. Why didn't you leave and go someplace? And what happened, what kept you at ABC, and what was the value of being at ABC for 4 years? In 3 minutes or less. in 3 minutes or less, okay?
Well, first night I came here.
Just checking. See how strong your voice is. Not as strong as my wife.
It will be soon.
Good girl, okay.
Okay, I'm not used to this, okay? So the first night I came here, okay, thank you, Jesus. I'd never been to a church like this before, and I came in bound and emotionally tied up, and I was challenged. I couldn't speak. I was challenged. I could barely walk. I was challenged to be in pain from head to toe, and I was challenged to be in suicide depression. So those are just a few of the things, that, since I got to talk to you real fast. It was quite a few, but because of the love of Pastor Sarah and Pastor Joshua, who took the time to care for me and held me that night. It took them, I believe, 45 minutes to get me to say Jesus, which of around that.
I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Oh. It took you 45 minutes to say, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Okay. I always thought it was just the word, but that, anyway, okay. So it took me 45 minutes to say, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Okay, so that night I said, I want to stay here because this church has what I have been praying for since I became a Christian, and that was to be set free from every demon, devil, and evil spirit that has attacked me since I was 3 years old. And so I stayed, and it wasn't easy. It was hard. And as Pastor says, every time I say to him, this is too hard, he says to me, everything's too hard, but you get through it, Donna, because of your faith and because you're a survivor and because you know how to trust Jesus in everything that you do.
And how to fight.
And how to fight. Yeah. And so why I stay here is because when I was first saved, they told me that I was going to open up the prison doors and set the people free, and that I was going to be used by God to help women who were raped and molested and beaten. One day I would be used by God, and by the grace of God and what I've been learning here and this church, that's starting to come to fruition.
Amen.
So in Jesus' name, I don't want to leave here, because everything the doctors told me when I was challenged in 1988, I am becoming set free more and more every day. And that is only because of the love of Jesus Christ and this beautiful church where the authority is of Jesus Christ, and where the angels come, and where Jesus walks. And I believe that I'll be totally set free, and I will be helping and healing people. Amen. And doing the things God intended for me to do.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
So okay. Yeah.
That's wonderful, honey. Okay. You did wonderfully well.
Okay. All right.
You did wonderfully well. Praise God. Okay.
Okay.
Now you can go back to your seat. Good girl. You notice I held on to the microphone because she's a preacher. What do preachers do when they get the microphone? They got to hold on to the microphone, okay? Can you hear me okay? Is this microphone okay?
Yeah,
you hear me fine? Okay? Very good. Okay, the next person up is going to be Deborah Henniker. Thank you for volunteering, Deborah. And just a couple minutes, just, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, I want you to basically talk about the same theme, why you stayed, and the blessings of staying. You don't have to be specific. I mean, just a theme.
Well, the very first time I came here, I realized that this was a place where there was such a thing called anointing. I'd never really been exposed to that idea before. And so I just knew that I could feel the presence of God, and that miracles were happening, and I could see that the gifts were flowing and the fruit of the Spirit was so obvious. And I remember one time Pastor asked me, why did you stay? And I said, because people tell me that they love me. And I hadn't been in any place where that was so consistent. And I began to, again, like Donna, I began to kind of blossom here. The bondage that I was in was being broken off, and all I did was just follow direction. That's all I did. If they said do this, I said okay, and I did it. And I mean, week by week, I was getting more and more free, and I didn't even realize what was going on. And to a point where I started to look back and say how far I've come, and to know how far I have yet to go. And so I want to stay here because I'm learning what the goals are. I'm learning that there's more to being a Christian than going to church and being a good person, that I have a destiny and there's purpose for my life. And it's not just to show up, but it's to participate in the kingdom of God. So I'm becoming an active player in this kingdom of God.
Amen.
And I have a future that's being unfolded before me as I read the scriptures and as the Holy Spirit reveals to me. So I feel very blessed to be a part of ABC.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, the next person has been in ministry for, I don't know, 2 decades maybe, 20 years, and is ordained by several different churches and ministries, and has walked in signs and wonders for at least 15 years, maybe 20 years, maybe 25 years. She's led probably 60,000 people to Jesus. And she joined us here, what, a year ago, 2 years ago? Anyway, come up, Pastor Karen, and tell us why you came and what it's meant to you so far. Okay? Now, maybe I should hold the microphone for this one.
Hallelujah. Well, we're going on our third year to be at ABC, and
We've had the privilege, my husband and I, to sit under many ministries, and I grew up in the Lord because Vicki Jameson is also my spiritual mom. Like, she led 40 members of my family to the Lord in a three-year span. And then I ended up going to Rhema and then working for Kenneth Hagin Ministries. That was a great honor. Went to Oral Roberts University, graduated from there, was mentored by Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin themselves, Dr. Cho himself as well. So when I went to the mission field in Guatemala and was able to see how God would do, you know, miracle signs and wonders, and walked in faith. But I really didn't realize that working in the gifts of the Spirit is, and that's all, is unbalanced, because we need to walk in the fruit of the Spirit as well. So God would use me to lay hands on the sick and they would recover, like a man that was healed of HIV. He was dying of leukemia, in a coma, blind and deaf, and God completely healed him, and there was no HIV in his system. And we'd have healing crusades, and thousands of people would get saved and healed, and mayors and governors would come and get healed. I mean, and saved, you know, ambassadors, presidents of nations. And then the devil put a challenge of sickness on me, and I had a challenge of getting healed. Now, supernaturally, God did heal me 2 times of cancer because of doing affirmations day and night and day and night and day and night. But there were some other challenges that still lingered. When I came to ABC, then I realized I needed to get cleansed. And people say, Christians cannot have demons. And while I've been serving the Lord, God's been using me. I was getting demons out of people, right? But it's a spiritual warfare. So when I realized the depth of that and learned to get cleansed, now I have victory in many areas of my life. I just lost 25 pounds just from doing affirmations. I was so busy, I wasn't able to, you know, be consistent in my exercise routine. You know, all I was doing is what Pastor Joshua taught me. In the name of Jesus, I weigh X amount of pounds, and my measurements are so-and-so. And he says, try to take it down 10-pound increments when you get that, and then go to the next, you know. And, you know, that's one of the methods he recommends. But I see more than that. I saw tumors disappear in my body. Supernatural, as if they were never there. No markings, no pain, nothing. Okay, I have seen, because we tithe and give offerings to holy ground, that is not a diluted tithe, and that's a long, big teaching. We have seen not only were our cars paid off, because we were in a lot of debt when we came to ABC. And we kept praying for prosperity. We believed in prosperity. God has always provided for our needs, and we've seen his provision. But we are now not in the red.
Amen.
Bills have been paid off.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Money comes every day.
Amen.
Someone gave us a $1,000 check from another state. More offerings, more offerings. Why? We don't ask God for offerings. We just serve him, but do everything that we've been taught by the word here. And imagine, I've sat under these great men and women of God who we learn from and honor, but I've learned more here. My husband says, in 1 year, we learned more than 15 years under any other ministry. Why do we stay? Why did we move, pack everything up, and come here? Because this is where the anointing of God is flowing. This is where we see Jesus himself training this church, himself personally. That's why he appeared here 4 times in the last 2 weeks. That's why he'll appear to every ABCer while they're on their fast here, and those affiliated, those on the internet church, because he himself is the captain of the Lord of hosts and training us to be part of his end time army. Amen?
Amen. Thank you very much. Praise God. Now, she mentioned that she's got tumors from her body. In a nine-day span, we had 4 people who had tumors. 3 of them had tumors gone from the body. And the 4th one was greatly reduced, significantly reduced. These are tumors, for the 3 people, tumors have been there a long time. standing in faith for a long time. But it was all kicked off by the song we heard today, which is Whisper the Name of Jesus. And there was a lady here who was calling out the name of Jesus. And she got her healing. Not only did she get her healing, she came up with prayer. Normally I ask permission before I do this, but at this time I didn't feel led to do that. So there's a step of faith you have to do. And before you have to do it, let me tell you a story. So let me come back to where I was. But I want to tell you my story first, okay? When I was around 11, all my friends went out for the choir. They were all older than me because they had been bumped a few years. And so they all went out for the choir. And so, not to be left out, I went out for the choir also. And so there were like 80 or 100 kids all lined up on a podium, you know, one above the other. And we were all singing this song, and I'm at the back quietly mouthing the song. And in front of all these 80 people, the instructor in charge points to me and says, "Wong, you get out of here. You're a monotone." I'm thinking, there's no way this dude could have heard me, right? So he kicks me out in front of all my friends. It was absolutely demoralizing and humiliating for an 11-year-old kid, especially one who is in high school when he's 11 years old. So after that, I never sang. So there's a point in my life where I had backslidden, and I was coming back and working really hard, standing in the anointing, staying with God, trying to get back to where I was. And one day I'm in church. This is before we had ABC services on Sunday. I was in Sunday service at another church. And the Lord spoke to me in here and said, "Well, son, your faith is back to where it used to be." And I was so excited. It had taken me a long time to get there. A long, long time. And God said, "Your faith is back to where it was." And I'm just rejoicing, and I open my mouth, and a little song just popped into my heart, and I'm singing a little song on my bed to the Lord. It was great. It was wonderful. And then, on the podium, late in the choir, got the microphone and said, "The Lord just told me he just gave a song to a man, and the man is to stand up and sing it." And I knew exactly what God was doing. Saying, my faith, I got back to where it was. So here I am, was kicked out of the choir, who never sang, private or public. I'm going to get up now and sing in front of the church. And that was my choice. Well, I wanted to go on with God. God was more important to me. My faith was more important to me than every single person in that church. And in that church, sitting next to me, was the lady who became my wife. Were we married yet? It's been so long ago, I forget. We weren't married yet, right? But I remember. It was a long time ago. And I thought, God is more important to me. My faith is more important to me than everybody here. I don't care if they all hoot me. And I got up and I sang. I sung this song. It just popped into my heart. No, I have no idea how it sounded to anybody else. I didn't really care too much. I mean, the devil was bombarding me, but I was doing it because God said to do it. But an anointing hit the church. And the Lord, through the same lady, led other men to get up and sing. I think other people got set free. But I can tell you, I got set free. So since then, I sing before the Lord. This morning at the 10 o'clock service, I led a few songs singing. So this lady came for prayer a few weeks ago. And when she was there, we played that song. And everybody was shouting out the name of Jesus. I think that was the first time we played that song, was it not? First time we played a song, Whispered the Name of Jesus. And we're shouting it out. And while we were shouting it out, the Lord spoke to me and said, "That lady who came, I have been told she was coming. Okay, you don't need to pray for her because she just received her healing." So when I got up to pray for people, I prayed for one person but did not call her up because God had told me she's been healed. And then after the service, I called her over and I said, "Go in the restroom and check yourself." And she checked and just came back and said, "The tumors are gone. Could be one little small area, but tumors are gone." And she was in tears. And I found out today, she had an appointment scheduled with the doctor from before. She'd be going into the appointment, I think, next week. So the doctor's going to verify that it's all gone. And I found out what she did was she has not checked herself since that day, which is absolutely, perfectly correct. Why check yourself if you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus? Pastor Matthew behind you learned that when he was standing in faith for his heart. The devil was trying to kill him with heart attacks. And he kept checking his pulse. And one day God said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm checking my pulse." He says, "A healed person doesn't check his pulse." Right? And that was what? Almost 10 years ago? Almost 10 years now. Got a new heart. So, I know I'm putting you on the spot. I'd like you to come up here in just a few words, a few tears, whatever. But I want you to say, if you say nothing else, just say, come up and say, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I've been healed.
Amen.
From cancer.
Amen. Thank
you, Jesus. From the stripes of Jesus. Yeah. I also want to say something else, which I didn't tell the pastor. So I was diagnosed also with lupus 7 years ago. And since I came here, they were doing some more intense blood work. And I went last Tuesday, and they told me I don't have lupus anymore.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And I came to tell Yolanda, who brought me here. But she left, and I wasn't able to tell her.
Praise God.
And I know this Tuesday when I go in for my biopsy and I get my results, I will have nothing.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Amen. Very wonderful.
Thank you for everything.
Very wonderful. Bless you. Bless you, Raina. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to pray for this situation with Raina. We're not praying for her healing. She has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We're going to involve in spiritual warfare. The Bible says, once you pray, believe you receive, then put your whole armor on and stand in faith. We're going to stand in faith for her. And standing in faith is a good synonym for spiritual warfare. We're going to do spiritual warfare. I'll pray, and all you have to do is agree with me. Okay? Let's all confess our sins. Thank you, Lord. Our sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we come together. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our sins have been nailed to the cross. In the name of Jesus, we are free of sins, free of the effects of sins, and free of all the demons, devils, evil spirits behind these sins, including Satan himself. We come together as one in the name of Jesus. And first of all, we declare in the name of Jesus, those lying demons, devils, and evil spirits behind lupus will never again lie to our sister. Never again in the name of Jesus will any symptom of lupus ever come back to her. In Jesus' name. Satan, you are bound from ever lying to our sister Raina about lupus again. And Father, in Jesus' name, as Raina goes in to the doctor for a final checkup concerning what the doctors call cancer in her breast, tumors in her breast, in Jesus' name, Father, as she goes in, as she meets the doctor and every person she meets, nurses, technicians, in Jesus' name, as she meets them, in Jesus' name, we forgive the sins of Raina and the people she is meeting. In Jesus' name, we forgive them all their sins. We establish a hedge of protection around them. We bind up every demon, devil, and evil spirit in that room and cast them out of the city. In the name of Jesus, we extend the hedge of protection around all the equipment and all the testing. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord God, that you'd open the eyes of all the doctors, nurses, and technicians, that they'd see the truth of God's word, which is that Raina and Raina's breast and body have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we command every piece of equipment, every piece of testing, and every interpretation of that testing to conform to the word of God, that Raina has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and every machine, every test will confirm this in Jesus' name. And Father, we just flood all those meetings and the machine with the anointing of glory of God. We call this done in Jesus' name, and we loose into this situation the will of our Heavenly Father, the powers of heaven, and the angels of God. In Jesus' name we agree. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Okay. Now, wasn't that all exciting? Now, I said that all to show you how exciting God is and how it is that God says he is your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army. That's from Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19 in the Amplified Translation. Say after me, in the name of Jesus,
God is my strength,
my personal bravery, and my invincible army.
If God be for me,
who can stand against us?
In the name of Jesus,
I dwell
in the secret place of the Most High God.
And no evil shall befall me.
And 1,000 may fall at my side.
And 10,000 at my right hand.
But it shall not come near me.
For God is my supplier.
He's my provider.
My
He is my healer.
He is my healer.
He is my El Shaddai.
He is my El Shaddai.
He is the God.
He is God.
Who is more than sufficient.
More than sufficient.
For everything I need.
For everything I need.
Or desire. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
All of that now we've gone so far is the introduction to our teaching. Okay? So today's teaching is really called Growing in Prayer. Growing in Prayer - Signs of the Time. And I'm going to call up a fifth person to do what she does very well. I'm going to call up my wife to read to you something that will catch your attention. This is written by a man named Larry Edelson. And he works with a company called Wise Research. And they're very expert at economic forecasting, stock market forecasting, precious metals. In particular, Larry Edelson is considered an expert in the area of gold and precious metals. Has spoken, is a regular guest speaker in financial news networks like Bloomberg, CNBC, and I believe he's also spoken to Congress. Now, of course, the reason why they write these things is because they're businessmen. They're trying to make a buck. They don't write it because they love us. Maybe that's part of it. Weiss himself has a book written about how his father weathered the 1929 stock market crash. And that what happened was in 1929, years preceding it, his father kept telling everybody, all his people, his clients, and that the market is going to crash. Everything points to a crash. And the market would come down and would go back up. And they would laugh at him. And he said, no, no, it's going to crash. It's the way it crashes. It's up and down, up and down. It's like, you know, when you build like bridges, you want to do what they call dampening the harmonics, right? You don't want the bridge waving in certain ways because the waves feed on themselves and they're bigger and can build on the bridge. Now, I'm no engineer, so I can't tell you much about it. I just know that you have to consider the wave motions. Of course, here in California, you also consider earthquakes. Okay? Now, things are built in earthquake countries, so they actually move. But the moving is prescribed. There's certain ways you don't want it moving. Okay? So it's the same thing with the stock market. It's up and down, and the waves get bigger and bigger, and finally it comes crashing down. So that's how Weiss got into it, and he's been saying now for a while that there is a big crash coming. A long time ago, when people started really talking about crashes, this is back in the 80s, a book was written, and in the book, I think it was called Blood in the Streets. Blood in the Streets, I believe is the name of the book. I think it was in that book where he said that when the crash comes, it will make 1929 look like a garden party. Well, that was 30 years ago, and that particular crash hasn't come. The market has crashed since then. 87 crash percentage-wise was worse than 1929, but the effects were not as bad, nowhere near as bad, for a number of reasons. In particular, a lot of the controls they had on banks and so forth to prevent the recurrence of the 1929 crash have been in place. But since then, they've been getting rid of all of them. As far as I know, there are no controls that were put in place after the 29 crash to prevent it that are still in place. One of the most obvious ones is, after that, they said no banks could be in more than one state. Well, you all know that's no longer true. We're in multiple countries now. Okay? Anyway, these people, as you read this, remember, they're trying to make money. And Weiss may have been around for decades and may be very extremely wealthy, but Edelson hasn't been around that much. So he might be even more interested in making a dollar. There's a particular reason why I am reading this. I am not reading this to create fear. I'm not even reading this for you to take action, except for the actions I tell you after you read it. But I want you to hear some of the things going on in the world. And if you want to take it with a grain of salt, that this guy is maybe exaggerating a bit to make his claim, that's okay. That doesn't bother me. He may be, maybe he's not. But what I want you to remember is what I say after it. Okay? So could you please read this?
The title of his little letter is All Heck Breaking Loose, What to Do. We're less than a month into the new year, and indeed, all heck is breaking loose. The Dow Jones Industrials have had three wild swings already, and actually I think there's at least a fourth one since then. First plunging more than 700 points, then rallying more than 600, and then swooning nearly another 700 points.
The swings in other indices, such as the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, have also been off the charts. We've seen gold rally more than $110 from a low of roughly $1,167 on January 2nd to a recent high of $1,282 as I pen this column, and similar explosive moves up in silver and platinum. And while gold and silver were rallying, we've also seen the dollar explode higher to its highest level in nearly 9 years. As the euro currency, an ill-fated medium of exchange, continued to plummet virtually nonstop, pressuring the Swiss National Bank to abandon its peg to the euro, incurring hundreds of billions, that's billions with a B, of losses among hedge funds, forex dealers, central banks, and more. All the while, the price of crude oil has been plunging anew to a low of $44.20 and swinging wildly since. These moves, as extraordinary as they are merely the opening act of a year that will go down in history. A year that will see governments collapse, currencies thrown into turmoil, the current monetary system begin to break apart at the seams, as the back wall of the financial hurricane that began in 2007 begins to hit all of us. Will your wealth survive Bloody Wednesday? On April 29, 2015, an event will occur that will change everything in your life. The America we know and love will be no more. Discover how to protect your wealth and keep it growing before it's too late. Click here to get you. Your copy now. There's the man looking for some money. In the weeks and months ahead, you will see the price of oil rally a tad, then plunge to below $40 to as low as $30 before bottoming. The dollar gained incredible strength as Europe continues its descent into the abyss. Wild swings in stock markets around the globe, with the Dow Industrials leading the way, first down to as low as 14,300, then soaring like an eagle thereafter. Gold and silver's rally continue a bit longer, but then the metals will plunge too into a deflationary spiral to a new record lows for their current bear markets. And then just like the Dow Industrials, they will rocket higher yet again and begin a new bull market that will eventually take gold to more than $5,000 an ounce, silver to more than $125. And in what will prove to be the biggest bubble ever to have burst, later this year, you will see the sovereign debt markets of Europe and the United States literally implode as investors everywhere begin to question the leadership of the world's two biggest Western economies.
Well, did that catch your attention? And the more you understand economics and finances, the more it should catch your attention. Now, what is that about gold plunging to lows and then going up to 5,000? Remember, this guy's expertise is gold and precious metals. What do I want you to walk away from this with? He doesn't mention real estate in here. Real estate is going to fall significantly. Now, let me tell you about what got us to ABC. I could start this process back in 1999 or 98 and move it forward. In fact, I could start in 87. But basically, since 99, God has been giving us pretty much detailed blow by blow, pretty much on a year by year basis. Now, at the end of 2010, December 2010, and again repeated in January 2011, God said the world is entering up an era of fear, 5 years of fear, the last one being 2015. In 2015, things would start to get really, really shaky, and then by the time you hit 2016, things would fall apart. That's coincidental with what he's saying, although he's saying it's starting significantly in 2015. We're a little bit off in that one. I think it probably won't start until the third quarter of 2015, and then 2016, things will really get rough. Now, there are a lot of wonderful men and women of God out there, some of whom have published books using different things from the Bible to show that 2015 is a very significant year. One example is from the book called The Harbingers of Doom, which I understand the man has actually spoken to Congress. And he talks about the Shemitah, or the seven-year cycle of Jubilee. And he's pointing out, just to wrap up the end of it, is that in 2001, the nation had sinned against God, and in particular sinned against Israel. And so we had a stock market crash in 2001. Then again, there were some major sins that did, and again, in particular with respect to Israel. And so in 2008, we started a recession, the Great Recession. And then 7 years later is 2015, and our position as a nation hasn't improved that much, and we're still trying to get Israel to give away the land that God gave them. So they're saying 2015, you're going to have major dislocations, major challenges, which is corresponding to what he's saying here. Everybody got that? Third one I want to point out is the blood moons. They're based on the blood moon cycle written by John Hagee, first taught and expounded on by a gentleman whose name I forgot, but first out in print was John Hagee's The Blood Moons, which goes back to the 1400, showing that when the moons, when you have four blood moons in a row, a blood moon is a full lunar eclipse. When you have a full lunar eclipse, the moon looks red. When you have four in a row without any intervening partial eclipses, and when those match up with Jewish feast days, holy days, that something major and terrible always happens. He showed us four examples, one in the 1400, next one in 1948, when nation Israel came back into being after they were outnumbered 100-1 by people trying to destroy them. God protected them, they survived the wars, and they became a nation in 48. The other one in 1967, when again Israel's enemies tried to destroy Israel, and through God they were successful and they got back Jerusalem as part of Israel. Mark Blitz was the original researcher, Mark Blitz, okay? So they're pointing out that we are currently in a cycle of four blood moons. If I remember correctly, three have gone so far and one to come? Okay, two gone and two to come. And the last one will be in next year. There's one due 2015, I guess September 2015. Okay, September 2015, and the next one next year. So all these things are pointing to tremendous spiritual and economic and financial and political upheaval in the world, significant. And there are many people who believe that what the blood moons are predicting and what the Shemitah is predicting is the return of Jesus in 2016. Okay, now what I want to say is that's not true. Jesus is not coming back in 2015. He's not coming back in 2016. What I want to share with you, because I can show it to you in the scriptures, but I'm choosing not to do that because the Lord is not allowing me to do that. I do it here once in a while. I think I've done it here like four times in 15 years. So once in a while, we do it. And if you're here when I do it, you hear it. If you're not, you don't hear it. Now, notice these people are saying things are coming to an end. It's like the end of the world, Jesus the return, this whole thing is being wrapped up. That's not what he's saying. He is saying we're going to have a really bad time in the world, and then we're going to break out of it, and gold is going to go to 5,000. But gold will not go to 5,000 until it goes through this bad time. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to have a really bad time, starting at the earliest fourth quarter of this year, and next year will be a really bad year. Out of that bad year, Israel is going to have an extremely bad time over the next few years. They're going to be attacked in significant ways. Out of these wars, what's going to come is they're going to get a peace treaty which gives them back the right to rebuild the Temple of Solomon. All that has yet to occur before Jesus returns. So the time frame we're looking at here is a stock market crash, a rapid crash, a rapid regrowth, and during that regrowing period, with the wars and the attack upon Israel, Israel will get the right to rebuild the temple. So you can put that in your time frame expander and kind of work with your own time frame. Now, what does that mean to you and me? It means we should grow in our ability to pray. It means we should grow in our anointing. It means we should grow in our knowledge of the Word. It means we should do what the Lord has told us to do, which make put God in the first place. Put God in the first place, which means putting the Word of God in the first place, hearing and doing the Word of God in the first place in your life. Our goal, your goal, and my goal should be to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, Psalm 91, so that we are under the anointing, so that no evil shall befall us. Same thing I said back in 2007, 2008, when the recession was starting. At that point in time, I said to people, if you have your money, your retirement funds and so forth, in the stock market, primarily most people have them in like mutual funds. I said, get them out of mutual funds. Get them out of the stock market. Put them in cash. It's probably the best thing. Some place around there, I told them, buy silver and gold. And those who did that weren't hampered by the market. In general, the recession didn't affect ABC very much. Except some people made a lot of money. So some people lost some on the stock market because they were selling the stock market down. And they sold it all the way down, but they were expecting the whole thing to fall apart. And it did not go down as far as they thought. But most people just righted it up. Remember about that time I was back with my wife visiting her friends from high school. And he is an excellent engineer, successful engineer. He designs these big machines for corporations for packaging. So, you know, when your package comes in, you have trouble unsealing it. That's the kind of machine he, basically robots for packaging. And they're very complex and they're very expensive to build. And so he's doing fairly well, maybe very well. And so I told him, the market is going to crash. Get your money out of the market. And he said, I don't need to worry about it. All my money is in safe stock. Like, for example, General Motors. Well, General Motors went bankrupt. So I couldn't shake him. I couldn't change him. So I left him. Now, his wife had gotten healed in a miraculous manner. And that didn't have any impact on him. So what we're going to say here is pretty much what we said back before the Great Recession. If you're in your home and you're planning on staying there until Jesus returns, you don't have to do a thing. If you're in a home and you have a mortgage, be sure the mortgage is fixed rate. To show you a fixed rate mortgage. Do not have a variable rate mortgage. So convert your mortgage into a fixed rate mortgage. If you're thinking of moving anyway, this is a great time to sell your home. I started telling people this a year ago. That sell your home between now and say the end of first quarter 2015. Sell your home and rent. Hang on to your money. And when the prices come down, you can buy back really cheap and make a lot of money. Same thing I said last time. Same thing I'm saying again. But if you're content with where you are, you don't have to do a thing. Now, if you have some extra money, put it in the silver and gold. He says gold is going to come down lower than it is right now. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. But if it does, it won't come down much lower than now. And the upside is pretty high. You can buy the gold, and when it goes up as the market is crashing, then you can sell it and rebuy. Or if you do as I do, I buy gold and I keep it. I buy it. I have no intention of selling my gold until everything falls apart. So if it goes up and down, I don't care. It makes no difference to me whether it's selling at $2,000 an ounce or $1,000 because it's just going to sit there. Because he says they're going to go to $5,000. Other people have forecast $10,000. Okay? So we shall see. So again, if you're not planning on moving, stay where you are in your home. If you're renting your home, you want to get your expenses down below your income. So reduce your expenses. Maybe start building up some spare cash. Now, if you spend all your time studying the Bible, your expenses will go down. Yeah? Because you're not spending money. But also, money will start coming into you, as Pastor Karen was saying. When you focus on God, God will bless you. Remember this. God is your provider. God will take care of you, and God will bless you. To have all your needs met, food, shelter, clothing, protection, all you need to do is seek the kingdom of God, and keep on seeking it. Always seeking more and more of God, He'll take care of all your basic needs. However, if you want to grow financially, then you need to tithe. Because when you tithe, you make God your partner in your finances. When you're seeking the kingdom of God and keep on seeking, God takes care of your needs as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for you. That's the hat He puts on. I mean, a Jehovah Jireh hat. But when you tithe, He puts on a different hat. The hat he puts on is the military hat. He puts on the hat which says, I'm the captain of the armies of heaven. And I will rebuke the devourer from you when you are tithing. Rebuking the devourer means from your health, your finances, your family, your possession, your plans. I remember three houses back, I had a plant. I didn't have time to do any kind of planting, everything. So I planted one plot. But I noticed that the leaves all started falling off. And I started affirming, in the name of Jesus, I'm a tither, and my trees will not cast their fruit before the time. And I kept affirming that. And every single leaf, this is not an exaggeration, every single leaf fell off the plant. But the fruit was abundant and wonderful. It was the only plant I've ever seen which had no leaves, but a lot of fruit. So God will rebuke the devourer. And when you tithe, you make him a partner. And he'll rebuke everything. The tires in your car will last longer. Everything will work better. We just replaced the refrigerator yesterday. And we replaced it. The refrigerator, when it was about 10 years old, the refrigerator experts told us, get rid of it. It can't be fixed. You spend more than it's worth. Get rid of it. And I didn't know anything about refrigerator. But we prayed, and God fixed it, and it's worked another 20 years, and now we've blessed somebody else with it. Still working fine. The only thing is, once in a while, it makes a noise, which is a little bit too loud for the meetings. It's too close to the meetings. If it weren't for that, we still have it. It's a 30-year-old refrigerator, still working great. God will rebuke the devil. Even through these times you've got here that are coming up on the earth. And then to be blessed, you give offering over and beyond the tithes. Then that God, that's your best investment. God will multiply it 30, 60, and 100-fold. 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's the best way you can invest. But don't do it because you're investing for money. Do it because you're investing because you love the Lord and you want to see the gospel preached. If you have some extra money right now, buy gold. Buy some gold, stash it away. We're talking about gold coins. We're not talking about gold stocks and gold, yeah. We're talking about bullion, gold coin, bullion. Not talking about gold stocks and gold certificates. We're talking about gold, actual solid gold bullion. Okay? So the main thing I'm saying is, regardless of what you hear out there being taught and preached in the body, the Lord Jesus is not coming back. Even 2015, 2016. He's not come back before the stock market goes down, rebounds, and before Israel rebuilds the temple. Now, in theory, all this should be unimportant to all of us. Because the Bible makes it very clear, you should live your life today, spiritually, as if Jesus is coming back tomorrow. But you should live your life today in the physical, as if he's never coming back. In other words, occupy and live a conquering life in the natural. But spiritually, be always prepared. Have your eyes focused on him. Live as if he's coming back tomorrow. So all of us have been told to live as if Jesus is coming back tomorrow in the spiritual, but in the physical, prepare your world in the physical just as if he's never coming back. The reason why you're being shared this here is because you're part of ABC. And we are an end time ministry, an ending days ministry. Because of what God has called this church to do, we need to know more precisely what the time frames are. We need to know what to do to help pray for and prepare for the return of Jesus. We're in the period that the Bible talks about, voice in the wilderness, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We have the greatest opportunity in the history of the world that all the kings and the priests and the prophets of all the past have not had the wonderful opportunity of preparing the return of Jesus. So when you leave here, take that away with you. It's a wonderful opportunity to do that. Amen?